second cassette of the interview with T. Alexander Pond.
All right, sir. We need your list of questions.
John.
You can have that. I want that one back.
All right.
See, we were talking about Stonybrook's relations with its different communities. Local geographical community.
Right.
Those relations certainly did not warm very rapidly. The university was not popular, as you well know, at the outset. And as we mentioned earlier, I think you're about the only person that anyone would speak to.
I think there were people who were glad the university had come.
But the paper and the...
The Three Village Herald.
The spokesman, we were a political issue, a local political issue. Become a very drastic perturbation in the region. However little success we had in selling the economic impact argument, we certainly hit that aspect of it very hard and very disadvantageously. The most dramatic instance of what I would take to be a local geographical difficulty was on the 17th of January in 1967, E-grade bust, which... 68. Manny was born on Christmas 67, so it was 68. And that had the most unattractive sort of political origins in the sense of a county politician, that there was a lot of mileage in that.
Yeah.
Little did he know how much mileage there was in that. And that, of course, was a catastrophic event which set the university back at least several years in its development, consumed Johnny for at least a year. Many of the rest of us as well. I don't know whether Johnny talked at any length about that, but that was a time that tried him very severely because he was all alone dealing with a massive political assault, which indeed didn't end, as I understand it, until Nelson Rockefeller picked up the phone and told the Shakers to lay off. But they were hounding him pretty good. And it was a time of very near total preoccupation with trying to respond to those problems on the campus and at large. It was when the administration was in the library, and I remember that we were, I don't know if you remember the arrangements there, that we had these open offices, that Johnny's office had holes in the ceiling that you could hear through from the floor above, so did mine. There was a little maintenance closet on the second floor of the library. With a Xerox in it. And when we had something confidential to talk about, we would go in and turn the Xerox on and talk over it because we figured that they wouldn't think to bug that. We were reasonably sure we were being bugged, that there was no proof. But as I say, as a symptom of a really quite hostile at the gym. As the community grew older with us, and more of their children began to be caught sniffing dope or whatever, there was a good deal more understanding of our problem. But that was a long time coming, well into the 70s. And there were problems even then, because we began to be rather spectacular target for local politicians in relationship to various environmental impacts like the sewage system. Classic ill-considered sewage system, which we were left swinging in the wind for. Well, I just noticed last weekend that they're finally putting in a treatment plant. In fact, it's the only significant new construction I can see on the campus since the day I left. That was a long time coming. I don't know why so long. But that was a constant irritant.
Well, there was a conflict of jurisdictions between the local village of Fort Jefferson.
Well, we...
Brookhaven County, Brookhaven Town, the county, and the federal government.
In my years, it seemed clear that the village of Fort Jefferson would be in terrible trouble if we were to secede one way or another. I think that's what kept us in. That didn't buy us any good press at all. I must say, I have seen a lot of that, of course, since, and it's unattractive, the kinds of political interests that come to feast on the body of a university are quite unattractive.
Right.
Local interest.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen a lot of that. So it was certainly part of the problem. The local council.
There were people who were on the side of the university.
Oh yeah.
I would get
Lee Dennis.
Yes, Lee Dennis.
Strongly.
The county executive.
Wonderful guy.
Right.
Not able to do a hell of a lot for us, though. He was...
Well, he was local. Right?
Well, he was a Democrat in a Republican county there. The local council, the Stony Brook Council, if your interest is up to 1971, that's through the chairmanship, into the chairmanship of George Tobler. That was just the beginning of the period, the very beginning of the period where the council began to be welded into a powerful resource.
Mm-hmm.
George was the first person who did that. But I certainly would not say that it had happened by 1971. We were still very much at work on trying to make it happen. That was, in detail, an accomplishment of John Burness, who began working on it in 1970. Johnny was pretty much too busy to do much prior to that. Johnny constantly spread himself too thin, as you know. When Burness came along, he was able to multiply the president's efforts and begin to forge that into a body that could really be supportive of the university as it was in constantly increasing measure until 78. It played really quite a key role in the development of the strategy, the Long Island strategy.
Mm-hmm.
The trustees were remote, indifferent, and ignorant. They obviously had for better or for worse, an enormous influence on the development of the place, but part of Sonny's problem, and I think I would know if it weren't whereby it could become effective, but that's another story. Principally through effective use of the council. There's no way that a voluntary body of that size and of those necessarily, I gather, very limited capabilities, personal capabilities, can govern a great university. No way.
It seemed to me the quality of the trustees went downhill slowly.
I would agree, but from a very low level. They were Bush League people. They still are. There are one or two exceptions of people who brought some personal accomplishment and standing to the body, but their names escape me. The chancellor in the central office. The chancellorship may very well be an impossible task. I hope is not the case, but no one has yet demonstrated that it's not an impossible task. I think Sam, in a mysterious way, was extraordinarily effective, but everybody always writes that off as being when Rockefeller was in full bay and there were no problems. That's unjust. There were lots of problems, as you know.
But Sam, I think he had a good relationship with Rocky.
Yeah. And of course, he had the good sense to quit just as the tide turned, and poor Ernie came in to staunch the flow. I think Ernie is by a great deal the pick of the litter for the, if you call the rest of them, the working chancellors. He had style. Had some capability to listen, and had, in a quiet way, a personality which supported a leadership role. Didn't have too large a sense of himself.
Is he down in Philadelphia now?
No, he's in Princeton.
He's in Princeton.
Yeah.
Carnegie
Commission. I forget what it's called now, for higher education.
For higher education.
We invited him to come to Stony Brook. He chose rather to go to Princeton. I wish them well. I'll not, since I have earlier shared my assessment of Horton with you, I will not do that on the record. Besides, that's much more recent than you're interested in. The other sunny campuses, we put an appreciable amount of effort into being collegial. Although I guess the large part of that is actually after the time you're interested in. Certainly in physics, we did ourselves, I think, a lot of good in the system by being very attentive to the community colleges. If the whole university had followed that, that could have been developed into a considerable strategic alliance.
You mean Suffolk and Nassau?
Suffolk and Nassau. Because they were close, but statewide. Yeah, we got NSF money to do that. And the nuclear structure lab was the first that it's enormously important that campuses cooperate with each other, not be seen crudely competing.
Yes, right.
Competition is fine, but it shouldn't be crude and obvious. And one of the certainly congenital weaknesses of Sunny was and continues to be its inability to project a system image. A lot of talk about that, but tendency in New York State for the public sector and the private sector continue to scrap.
Yeah.
To be sure, not the serious private sector, but just the marginal private sector. But they make noise, and they spoil the broth. Then City University came into the picture, and of course, without even having to be good at politics, they could run circles around any chancellor that Sonny ever had. And so I think the state is getting the worst out of that enormously overinvested state system. It was very early, astonishingly early, clear that whatever its limitations were within the system, Stony Brook was the class act, and that's a tough cross to bear. People didn't like that,
yeah, right.
And they didn't like it in Albany either. Part of the weakness of the chancellery, mitigated only for moments in Boyer's time, was an utter inability to support qualitative difference. They despised difference.
That's what I meant by relativism.
Well, that's what has caused an enormous amount of waste in that system. Very, very strong internal springs in that system to pull everything to the same position,
the same level.
And they never have had had leadership that could persuasively define and defend different excellences for different campuses.
Great chance.
Very great chance. For example, Johnny could have done that. I think he's doing it in Maryland, where he has a pretty mixed bag, too. That was a very serious problem for Stony Brook. It made us unloved everywhere. And they're still unloved. The governor's, the Division of the Budget, I never had much dealing with Hurd. He was actually at the super level in the cabinet, the secret cabinet of Rockefeller. I forget the title. Secretary, was it? Yes, I think he was the governor's secretary when I first encountered him. He'd been promoted out of the Division of the Budget long ago. And I recall him in very early days dispensing justice favorably to us in one or two instances. I don't remember the particulars. Axelrod and Vallette were our more steady companions. When we turn this thing off, I'll tell you a funny story about Axelrod. Vallette I rather liked, as I said. But as I also said, that division, the executive division of the budget, was the mortal nemesis of State University. And so far as I know, it still is. They were, and will ever be determined to run that university. That problem has never been effectively dealt with, although, as I mentioned, there was a significant period under Gould when Ray Kettler, who was the vice president, whose name I was trying to remember, took that job on and almost got a memorandum of agreement out of them for a very considerable degree of autonomy. But it didn't come. It was strangled presumably by Axelrod. The governor's office, let me not dwell on the division of the budget, but that was an enormous problem, continuous problem.
I remember going before them and thinking to myself, these guys don't really understand what a university is all about.
They sure didn't. And as fast as one of them would learn, they would transferring to prisons or something like that. Really baleful. And the subject of any number of preachments, on the day Kennedy was shot, we were being visited, do you remember, by the Legislative Task Force, what was that guy's name, led to a report in, a year later.
Legislative Task Force.
Yeah, it was the consultant, that famous man from Indiana, who's Elvis, not Elvis Starr, the other famous guy.
Wells.
Herman Wells.
Yeah.
His staff guy, his name was Ticton. Sidney Ticton.
Yeah.
Was talking to you and me when we heard that Kennedy had been killed. Shot. That's incidentally sort of the day that everything began going downhill everywhere. It seemed. Loss of innocence.
You don't know where Ticton is, do you?
No.
I haven't been able to locate him. But I'd like to. He was the staff man for the Heald Report.
Yes. He was working out of AED, the Academy for Educational Development. But that's, of course, that's 20 years ago. 22
yeah.
years ago.
Right.
But all of those preachments that said you cannot build a university, starting with Heald, that you can't build a university this way, have had virtually no effect at all. And I can report to you, in case you ever doubted it, that reasonable autonomy in a state university is an asset of the greatest value. It makes the overhead on initiative at Stony Brook was simply enormous. And inevitably that would have to wear people down. And I can do things here with the stroke of a pen that would have taken years of negotiation. Our board can do things that the Board of Trustees at Sunny would never summon the purpose or the courage to do. So don't ever doubt that it was as important as we thought it was when we were complaining. The governor's office. I had virtually no contact, only trivial contact with Rockefeller. Johnny had some, but I never dealt with him except at state occasions. Carey, as I mentioned, came on very strong, thanks to some rather effective representation by Johnny, by Grenesse, perhaps a little bit by me, turned into an enormous resource, of which, of course, in the result, nothing much came.
He was a Long Island man.
Brooklyn. That's not really Long Island. But he did have...
Wasn't his brother in the oil business?
His brother was in the oil business. Cuomo, I had no dealings with. I was unplugged by the time he came along. In fact, he wasn't elected until I was here. The legislature...
any of our people?
We worked very hard on the legislature. Once again, Burness doing most of the coordinating after 1970. Jerry Kremer. He, of course, was very significant then. He very, very occasionally... sought audience to brief the Honorable Joseph Margiotta, who always listened very attentively, never committed himself to anything. But there were signs that he was helpful to us. He never made any demands of us. I think there was a lot of
cheap crap around about that. I want that in the record. Joe Margiotta never asked the university for the square root of zip. And our contact with him was not even on an average of once a year. Miller, because of his chairmanship, we briefed more regularly. He was Ways and Means. And I was busily getting to know a very attractive young legislator who I thought was a real comer when I lost interest, and that was Mel Miller. It turned out all right.
Mel Miller.
He's now the speaker.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. And Carl Carlucci is his
secretary.
Well, he's a staff person. He's a very senior staff person. I always wanted to have one's own speaker. We had on the county scene, Dennison, of course, was marvelous. We had, although it was under his county executiveship, that the blow fell from Jack Barry, the commissioner of police.
Did you ever see that? See that TV publication that they got out with a knight in a hauberk on the front?
Oh, the briefing book.
Yes.
Yes, I own a copy.
You do?
Yeah, got a copy downstairs.
You know, I don't know.
Famous book.
Yeah.
In the aftermath of that, I was told on to reestablish liaison with the Suffolk County Police.
In the aftermath of the drug bust, because there were some other incidents you may remember after that, the sensitivity was such that the commissioner only met with a representative of the DA's office, and the representative of the DA's office was the deputy, Maurice, Maurice Najari, subsequently famous for his demise in New York City for over-aggressive prosecution. But Maury was an extraordinary person. He was the guy who directed the bus.
He directed the bus, bless him.
And boy, he was a true believer. But I'll tell you a funny thing. Over the years working with him, and we finally did work out very good liaison arrangements with the Suffolk County Police, and it is an excellent police department. Very professional, as they ought to be. They're paid ridiculous sums. But I got to be quite friendly with Maury. He was the blackest devil I could imagine when I first met him. He was the...
Wasn't that corrective of the bad press that the Republicans had over the sewer district?
I don't think it was the sewer district, but there were scandals.
Yeah.
The sewer district was later. That was what unhorsed John Van Nostrand Klein, who was very... He beat Dennison. Did he beat him, or Dennison retired, I guess? But Klein was very friendly to the university,
yeah,
but not very effective. But he would come when you asked him, and he would sign things when you asked him. He's a decent fellow. Certainly relative to the snake they have now, not the one they had now, but the one before. Peter, what's his face?
Carl.
Enormous disappointment. I thought he was the most attractive young figure, and he turned out to be a tintype. But to hell with him. I know it's Bird Geese, but that was much later. That's not in your time frame.
No.
Why, he was a pain.
20,000 out of him for the Suffolk Symphony.
Third gig?
Yeah.
I'll be damned.
To help us pay off our bills.
Of his money? Dearest friends.